Well, evidently the price was wrong. The Kraken start to take shape. It's the Wednesday edition of Hockey Central here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart with you on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy, at JT Bourne, at Stu Monroe, producer Matt Marchese, as well as technical ops Dylan Brown and Lance Kennedy along for the ride as well. Can't wait for tonight's Seattle Kraken expansion draft, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet, to talk more about that in about half hour from now. Eddie Olchuk from the NHL on TNT to break it all down. Could only wonder who's going to the Kraken, guys. What's going on?
Good day, good day. Seems like we have a pretty good idea who is going to the Seattle Kraken, do we not? It was like the expansion live draft happened this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, the expansion cool. leak, and that's what really grinds my gear. Like, I got some plans tonight. I'm like, you know what, I got to make, you know, some adjustments here to make sure I watch it. But if I already know the picks, I'm not really rushing to be watching anything. So I'm sure, you know, the insiders weren't really keeping in mind the big, big players on the television networks that were planning on watching this. So I'm sure they're not really appreciative of the leaks. But again, that's the nature of the business.
Yeah, pretty much the Twitter era 101 right now, guys. And the leaks aren't on the Seattle Kraken, by the way. This is on the NHL and the NHLPA, because everything was filed to Central Registry this morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And this is what you're seeing. But again, we saw this, and this is the day and age of Twitter. We saw this when it came to Vegas a couple years back. We see it at the NBA draft all the time, the NHL draft. It's unfortunate because, again, this is Seattle's day, but it is what it is. And certainly, guys, there's a lot to talk about on today's show, from what we're speculating, contracts. Mike Smith apparently is getting a multi-year deal from the Edmonton Oilers. But let's start with the big one, because it's been huge the last couple days. And it's unfortunate that it seems like Seattle and the brain trust there are rather smart. Carey Price staying put in Montreal. Your reaction, Justin Bourne?
Well, my takeaway is that it seems Seattle is having a bent towards not having any potential cap liabilities. Like, they do not want to suddenly find their salary cap mangled and twisted by a player who they're not sure about. Like, it's fine to spend $10.5 million on a goalie if you're sure about him. But again, 34 years old, knee, hip, potential injuries, you can't be sure about that. And so you can't take that huge risk. So I think they're trying to keep their cap sheet as clean as possible and then wield that cap space come, the trade deadline or sooner, to make any additions they may need.
Yeah, and I wonder, and this is pure speculation, that maybe Bergevin and Ron Francis had a conversation before saying, hey, you know what, we're going to expose Carey Price, you guys pick him up, and then we do a deal now to maybe get him back on some retained salary. So I think the NHL stiffed that one out fairly quickly and put the kibosh on that, and I think they're going to be going in a different direction for sure.
How much credit does Mark Bergevin get for the gamble here? Because ultimately, if you were to pull this 2 weeks ago, you would suggest it was likely to be Jake Allen. But the fact that they're going to be able to come back with that battery mate of Carey Price and Jake Allen, and who knows on the injury extent of Carey Price, I thought obviously was a risky gamble, but a calculated gamble. I think Mark Bergevin deserves a lot of credit here.
Yeah, no, I think he found a way to protect his assets. And, whatever it is, whatever the reasoning was on the Carey Price thing, everyone's saying that Carey Price approached the team himself about it. I don't know about how any of that stuff went down, but whatever the logic, I think it's great. You kept the guys they wanted to keep, and I'm sure they did want to keep Carey Price. So I thought he deserves a lot of kudos. It took a lot of intestinal fortitude, I imagine, to dangle him out there, but they get to keep him, and Bergevin looks like a smart man today.
Yeah, and I don't think it was that big of a gamble just because of all the quality goaltenders and the quality young goaltenders. And I think the writing was on the wall for how many months now that Driedger was going to be going there to be the number one on a decent cap hit. So if it was a soft goalie market where there wasn't a lot available, I could see them, making the gamble. But you can get a solid 1A, 1B, and 1C option next year where, you don't really need Price for next year.
Do we want to go through the picks here, Alberga, like the ones that have been announced so far?
Yeah, Domi's so I was going to go
from Columbus.
Through...
Wow.
Who is it from Columbus?
Domi's not going from Columbus. Like Gavin Bayreuther.
Bayreuther. It's a good idea. So I'm actually running a thread right now of all the names. And again, if you don't want to find out and wait for the broadcast tonight, by all means. But we'll run through it right now. And these are just rumored names, not announced till 8 Eastern time tonight on Sportsnet. But from Tampa, Yanni Gourde. Cale Fleury from Montreal, Brandon Tanev from Pittsburgh, Cole Lynn of the Canucks, Vince Dunn of the St. Louis Blues. So, yes, Vladimir Tarasenko, it seems right now, not taken. by the Seattle Kraken. Some free agent signings expected. Adam Larsson came out of nowhere. Jamie Oleksiak out of Dallas. Chris Drieger, of course, coming over from the Panthers. We'll get to Jared McCann, the former Toronto Maple Leaf, it seems now, and we'll say that in a couple hours from now for sure, but it seems like he's the Maple Leafs pick. Vitek Vanacek from Washington. Joey Decord from Ottawa. Carson Turinski came out of nowhere, I would say, 23 years of age, Alberta native, the Philadelphia Flyers pick, it sounds like. Not much of a shocker out of Calgary. Mark Giordano could be the next star, or the first captain, I should say, of the Seattle Kraken. Cale Yarncroke from the Preds. Mason Appleton from the Jets. Jonas Donskoy of the Avalanche. Jordan Eberle of the Islanders. Morgan Geeky of the Carolina Hurricanes, and of course the correlation there with Ron Francis. Little shocked he didn't elect to go to Jake Bean, but it sounds like it's going to be Morgan Geeky. Jeremy Lauzon with Boston, Carson Soucy with Minnesota, and Alex True of the San Jose Sharks. This is just speculation at this point, rumors at this point, but the insiders are really, really tied in, Justin. So what do you make of what we've seen so far here?
Well, you know, I'm looking at these deals and trying to figure out where are the side deals, because I look at that Carolina one, and they're not taking Jake Bean or Nino Niederreiter. Like, Morgan Geeky's a good player, and I think that, you know, they probably looked. I'm guessing there's a deal in place with Carolina to protect those two guys, particularly Jake Bean. And they probably liked Morgan Geeky and said, this is a place where we're willing to pass on those guys and grab some additional assets and still get someone we like. So that's one of the places I'm trying to figure out where else would there be a side deal in place. Did Columbus offer up something to keep Max Domi? Where else could that have happened?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same probably with the Winnipeg Jets, because I was looking forward to them, you know, losing their 27th defenseman in the last calendar year and a half. And I'm surprised that Dylan DeMello's not on that list too, because he's a solid guy. He's got some term left, cost certainty at $3 million, and he plays above his cap, and he eats a lot of minutes too. So I'm surprised that he didn't get picked or has not been on the list to get picked later on tonight too. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's maybe a bit of a side deal with Winnipeg and Seattle for sure.
So certainly what stands out here is Yanni Gourde. And guys, you know this is going to happen. People are going to look at Vegas and say, hey, let's draw some comparisons. I think... And you probably would agree, guys. Like, I think you start with Yanni Gourde and the potential here with a player who played a bottom six look with Tampa. I think you would think makes sense to elevate his role here with the Seattle Kraken. Stewie, what do you think of Yanni Gourde to Seattle here potentially?
Yeah, I think it's a good mix. And who was it that went to Vegas and scored 40 goals? Was that Marchessault or who was that?
William Carlson,
yes, excuse me. Yeah. This shows my history there. But I wouldn't be surprised. Is he going to come and score 40? No, but he scored 25 and 22 in back-to-back seasons a couple of years ago, and that's playing third-line minutes. So I could see him with an extended role, bigger role within the organization and the excitement of the first season of getting cast off from Tampa Bay with, you know, back-to-back Stanley Cups. I wouldn't be surprised if he scores 30 goals and, you know, he has a big, big season for this team.
Yeah, they're going to be struggling for top-end guys. Like, if you're not going to take Tarasenko, I'm trying to think of who your best offensive player is, and you're right, Stewie. Like, this is the guy that they're going to ask more from offensively. I am curious to see what they do with a bunch of cap space. Like, because no one has cap space right now, when it comes into the season and teams want to move off of guys and players are available, like, I don't know, does Jack Eichel want to go play for Seattle? Like, this is going to be a team that has room to add a superstar. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this cap space, because right now elite talent will be what they're lacking.
I'm wondering, too, about Dougie Hamilton, guys. And again, you want to draw, you know, comparables and correlation and all that and to what Ron Francis was doing before, of course, with Carolina and Dougie Hamilton and the defenseman. Again, we tried to do that with a guy like Jake Bean, and we'll see if there's a protection deal there. But does Dougie Hamilton not make a lot of sense, Justin, for the Seattle Kraken, that may be an 8-year deal?
Maybe. It's just that their decor is so good. Like, I just looking at this group right now, and it's, you know, even by taking Appleton and not DeMello, you're still looking at a group that, you know, they just signed Larsson, who's a great defensive defenseman. Oleksiak is a big, mean defenseman, too. And then you're talking about Mark Giordano, Cale Fleury, Hayden Fleury. There's just Carson Soucy. There's a number of good D. So you're like, yeah, I like Dougie Hamilton. Boy, they're really good already back there. It's nice to have a number one guy, so he would certainly be an option. They're already better than a lot of decors in the league.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be getting his $8 million bucks wherever he goes, and it's awfully quiet on the Dougie Hamilton front. I'm surprised there's no people, you know, speculating or looking, try to get on the inside. So doesn't that usually mean when things are too quiet, Toronto's usually in the mix? So I know the numbers and the sense don't really add up, but it's also obviously too quiet because I think he's the number one coveted free agent this year, and I'm surprised no one's speculating on where he's going to go.
So again, it's Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart here on a very special edition of Hockey Central, of course, with the 32nd NHL franchise, the Seattle Kraken, officially announcing their inaugural roster tonight, although it's coming out on Twitter right now. But don't forget to check out Sportsnet tonight at 8 Eastern time. Eddie Olchuk from the NHL on TNT, analyst there, coming up in about 15 from now. Some other names to throw out there. It sounds like Minnesota, Carson Soucy, Alex True, we said that. Curtis McDermott. Of the Los Angeles Kings. Another one mentioned Morgan Geeky as well with Carolina. So we're pretty much going to know this entire roster, and then it's going to unfold tonight, maybe the protection deals as well. But why don't we jump into the Toronto conversation, which obviously is setting Leafs Twitter on fire over the last hour or so when it was announced that it sounds like it's going to be Jared McCann, who was a Leaf for like 2 days. But Borny, do you want to dissect what we've seen over the last 48 hours, the Maple Leafs making that deal and then subsequently losing the guy they picked up?
Yeah, I mean, if you sat here and nothing had happened over the past week, and in the expansion draft, you know, they had taken Philip Hallander and left Kerfoot and Dermott and Hall, you'd have gone, great. I really like what happened. That we're very, very glad. So that was the idea, right? To protect what you had. You know, and I think it's going to work out just fine for them. I see some people upset that they didn't do more to protect McCann and let Hall go. Listen, Justin Hall, it's not about the defenseman he is. It's about the value he provides on the contract he's at. This is a team smashed up against a salary cap. He makes $2 million bucks and plays top four against the best lines the opposing teams can throw at him. It's, again, it's not that they think that Hall is a more valuable player to have than McCann. It's that they think he's irreplaceable at $2 million in your top four against Tufts. McCann is a more replaceable asset, and that's why they did what they did.
Yeah, and the one thing I'll tell you is right now, I'm never going to trust Fish again, because according to that Fish video yesterday, it was going to be somebody else going out the door too. But, you know, and again, the Toronto Maple Leafs, one of the classiest organizations in the National Hockey League, and I'm sure they probably had a conversation with them saying, hey, hold your horses, don't pack your bags, don't get worried, don't worry about quarantining. I know he's from Stratford anyway, so I'm sure he's not, they let him know that, hey, this is a potential that this is going to happen. So I'm sure they let him know and his agent know that this is a potential scenario. But at the end of the day, I think he was a pretty quality player, and you know, he could have been a good third line center potential option. But at the end of the day, it's all about the dollars and cents. They got to save some money. They got to, you know, have some good guys on the back end here too. So, you know, it's we'll see how it goes when he goes there, if he goes there. But don't trust the Fish. I'll tell you that.
Trust the Fish. Fish are liars.
I can't get over that, just the stir it drew from them just doing a couple different takes of it, because we saw the Jared McCann come out today. I'm gonna love that video tribute in Toronto when Jared McCann returns as potentially a member of the Seattle Kraken. But I have to wonder, and Leafs Twitter is asking this question as we speak, did they overthink this whole expansion process? Like, why not just take the Minnesota approach, where it doesn't sound like it's going to be Kakinen, by the way. We interviewed Bill Guerin last week, and he's like, I'm just not going to make a protection deal. They're going to take who they're going to take. And obviously, it was an outside-the-box type approach here to acquire Jared McCann. But, Borny, do you think they overthought the situation a tad?
I don't. I feel like this... What am I missing here? Like, if we were sitting here and they did nothing, they would have the same team they have right now, you know, minus Hall Hall, Dermott, or Kerfoot, like if they did absolutely nothing. So I think they're better off for having did what they did. They got to keep their guys. And I saw some people on Twitter saying, you know, like, ah, this is the same group that's going to run it back, that blew a lead, whatever. They haven't run anything back. It's July. We're not even at the draft yet. We're at the expansion. It is early. So yeah. I don't think they want to run back the same group. I also think that they're a little more cognizant of what happened in the playoffs this past year and being without John Tavares. And I don't think they need the overhaul a lot of other people believe. So yeah, I'm just saying, it's a little early to say that they're running back the exact same group.
Yeah, my ears are to the Twitter streets, and especially with Leafs Twitter, and they actually got me pretty good with a prank the other day too, in tweeting that Montreal was exposing who was it? Josh Anderson. And I actually went to a couple of the insiders saying, hey, is this true? And they're like, hey, check the Twitter handle. So I embarrassed myself in front of my colleagues. Thank you very much, Leafs Twitter. But I think right now, I think what Leafs Twitter wants, they want a sacrificial lamb. They want to be able to say, hey, this team underachieved. And they want to be able to say, well, at least we got rid of this guy and this is going to change our fortune. So I think, you know, they want almost an addition by subtraction and have, you know, cast the blame on somebody and all will be well next year. But at the end of the day, that's not good business. This is a good piece of business. You get about, what, a seventh rounder, Hallander, you know, essentially in the draft right now for Seattle. So at the end of the day, I like the move. I like the move. It was good asset protection. And it's not running it back, as Justin said, because there's still lots and lots of time to make moves. I'm sure they're going to be major players on day one of free agency. And you sort of got to trust the brain trust, as they say.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not like Leafs Twitter to jump to conclusions. Like, I think you guys are so bang on with that assessment. Like, we're not even at the NHL draft yet, and people are putting a stake in this Maple Leafs offseason and saying, hey, they haven't done enough. Like I think you have to sit back and wait till maybe about mid-August to really assess what they've done. Having said that, like, how much of a different look are people expecting with this roster? Maybe in the bottom six, but guys, when push comes to shove, and we've talked about this ad nauseum since this team was eliminated in Game 7 against Montreal, it has to come down to the big boys, right? Like, I think Tampa is a perfect example of running it back and running it back and running it back. And eventually you would hope you get it right, because I think the brain trust is going to be in place. And I think maybe a potential final season of having this core four intact. But at the end of the day, it's going to be those guys who lead this team to that next level. Is it not, Justin?
Yeah, there's two things with this team that, like, can't be different, essentially. They want to have the same top four. Their D is actually looks really good at this point, right? Because you're going to have Rasmus Sandin as a part of that group with Dermott probably on the third pair, you know, Muzzin and Hall and Brody and Riley. Like, goodness, great decor. So that's not changing. Up front, you're going to have the big four guys, and now you're out of salary. So, you know, people want it to be different. Like, you can want Mitch Marner to get traded, fine. That's a point. Stewie's made that point before. He's mentioned William Nylander. That's an argument. But if they want to keep their top four, they just can't be that different. They don't have the money to be that different. So I don't know what the expectation is outside of some shuffling at the bottom.
Well, just from the inside too, like, again, my first couple of years in Florida, you know, there wasn't really high expectations, but when we underachieved, when we didn't make the playoffs, heads were rolling. I think I went through two GMs, three coaches in the 5 years that I was there, and players were out the door that underachieved. So that's just sort of the natural progression of the National Hockey League, where if something's not working, you have to make changes to make it look at least like you're trying. So again, we'll see how it goes. But again, I think they're running out of chances to say, hey, you know what, maybe next year. Yeah, we don't want to be sitting here in 2067 saying, oh, you know what, next year's their year. And the best way to do that is making changes, the right changes, calculated changes. You're not just making change for the sake of doing it, but you have to be constantly improving your roster every single year. And if it's the top four that's not getting it done, you have to look at possibly making a move. You have to, you know, at least entertain it. Not saying do it, blow it all up, but you have to entertain it.
Yeah, and to me, I think, you know, I don't want to call it one last go with those four guys, but if it doesn't work next season, you don't do something substantial in the postseason. You just have to make at least one change, and I think you guys are right with that. You know what's also hot today? Oilers Twitter. So we talked about Adam Larsson, the rumored deal, by the way, in free agency with Seattle, 4x4. It sounds like Edmonton was around that ballpark, by the way, and he chose Seattle over Edmonton. But it also sounds like Mike Smith. And again, don't forget, there's a roster freeze in the NHL till 1 Eastern time tomorrow, until potentially all hell can break loose once again with signings and trades. But there's rumors out there from the good sources out there that Mike Smith is looking at a multi-year deal, which that tells me a 2-year deal. And they're saying around $2 million per season for a 39-year-old goaltender, Stewie. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's a definition of insanity. But again, I guess sometimes it's best to go with somebody you know. But the market's going to be pretty heavy and flooded with goaltenders. But I think this comes down to, you know, the goalies are sort of getting hung out to dry out there in Edmonton. Maybe there's not going to be a lot of interest. Maybe a lot of these goalies don't really want to go there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be looking at throwing a couple dollars at Freddie Anderson, bringing him in there. So I could see it's not more so them, you know, wanting to re-sign Smith because they really, really want to. I think they have to do it out of necessity, because I think the market for potential goalies going to Edmonton is not really there.
Yeah, Edmonton is in disarray right now. Like, that, the Larsson leaving thing is it's a big deal. You know, he was a great defensive defenseman. I would say he's got his prime of his career coming up here for, you know, big right-hand shot guy. You know, what they thought they were getting in the Taylor Hall deal, I expect him to be the next 4 years. And he's exactly what they need, right? They've struggled defensively, haven't got great goaltending. That crushes them. And then Mike Smith coming back at $2 million per, not just $2 million total, $2 million per for 2 years, as has been reported by Chris Johnson, is like, whoa, it's hard to see this Edmonton team being as good as they were last year, let alone better.
Yeah, there's no way you can come back with Koskinen again, right? Like, he hasn't been bought out. They're probably looking at a trade right now, but there's just no way in my world you can do that. You need an upgrade big time, and certainly the Vultures are already circling on Kenny Holland out in Edmonton, and we'll see what they do over the next couple weeks. Lastly, for this portion of the program, I wanted to try our best to try to dissect what's happening with St. Louis right now and Vladimir Tarasenko, who's 29. Understandably, shoulder issues to say the least, but it doesn't sound, again, if you're just tuning in, like Seattle is going to go ahead and take Tarasenko. It sounds like it's going to be Vince Dunn. And I guess it's back to the drawing board of trading this guy, because it's quite fair in saying that he's not playing another game for the St. Louis Blues, right?
Yeah, but what's scary is, like, what did Seattle find out in doing their due diligence on him? You know, like, that they don't want him. $7.5 million for just 2 years to left of that seems like a pretty great place to start for them. So I definitely feel like I'm in the dark on this one. Like, I'm missing something about, because he's such a talented player and so capable, so worth that money if he's healthy. What are we missing here?
Yeah, and I have my gold medal framed up behind me as we talk about this program right now, and I can't really sell this thing. I'm trying my best to get rid of it, but the asking price is $250,000. So if you want to spend $250,000, you can have my gold medal, but chances are the price is way too high in what I value that, right? So I think, you know, for the GM to say, well, you know what, it's tough to trade Tarasenko. Well, if you're asking for, you know, two roster players, two picks, and two young guys, that's going to be tough. So you can really get rid of him if you really want to, but you got to lower your asking price.
Yeah, because the other thing I'm wondering, too, is, like, if you're Seattle, I think you play hardball, and I'm sure they made Montreal sweat a bit. I think looking further at the Tampa situation, like, you have to wonder, there's got to be some protection deal somewhere. I think they had Tampa by the throat. I mean, essentially saying, you know, we know you have to shed cap. Let me take another guy on top of Yanni Gore. Like, that just makes too much sense to me. And I think when you look at St. Louis, that was my wonder as to why they left Tarasenko unprotected, because teams looked at St. Louis and said, hey, we're not going to help you out by taking that money. But again, like, Borney, I think you're right. Like, there's something we don't know about this situation, because a guy of the ilk of Vladimir Tarasenko, you look at the contract remaining, it's not too hefty of a price, I think, when you look at that. There's got to be something behind the scenes that we just don't know about the situation, because I never thought in my wildest dreams it'd be this difficult, not only to get, you know, Tarasenko to a different team, but traded at this point.
Well, I do wonder how much of what's going on with Ron Francis and some of these moves is the establishment of relationships and the ways of doing business with other general managers. Like, I can't help but feel like we're not going to see a Seattle-Montreal trade anytime soon. Like, it feels like these two guys struggled on what just happened there. But it may have been a situation where Ron Francis knew he had some guys over a barrel and said, I know you want salary cap relief from Tarasenko. Throw me a third-round pick and we'll take him. And, you know, you have Armstrong saying, no chance are we going to throw in a pick for a guy like Tarasenko. And both guys kind of bluff each other and nothing happens. I just feel like behind the scenes there's a lot of stuff we don't know about how the relationships worked and what Francis tried to extract from organizations that other teams just felt was ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think the Tarasenko being, you know, part of the expansion list is the fact that they probably have something bigger in the works. You know, possibly they're making a push for Landeskog and they need his contract off the books, because that money's going towards Landeskog. So again, that's purely speculation, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're in and in heavy to get the services of Landeskog.
And certainly the beginning of what is to be a very busy time frame in the NHL over the next couple weeks. This offseason really condensed with the way this COVID season went, and we'll jump into that conversation further with the NHL on TNT analyst Eddie Olczyk up next here. It's Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart. Big day for the city of Seattle, no doubt about that. You're listening to Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Again, coming up tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Sportsnet, the Seattle Kraken will pick their inaugural roster. Welcome back to Hockey Central here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart with you on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy, at JT Bourne, at Stu Monroe. Moments away from Eddie Olczyk from the NHL on TNT. If you're just tuning in, lots has leaked. I believe 26 of the 30 teams have been leaked in terms of who is going off to the Seattle Kraken. And of course, the big news of the guys not going, no Carey Price, so he stays put with the Montreal Canadiens. It sounds like it'll be Cale Fleury, defenseman, going from Montreal to Seattle. And no Vladimir Tarasenko of the Blues. It sounds like it's going to be Vince Dunn, a defenseman. You guys shocked at all by those two decisions?
I would say I'm most shocked by the Tarasenko one. I thought that was going to happen, particularly because there almost seemed like a case being made from St. Louis's side, where I saw a headline today that, like, the doctor says he's motivated and healthy. It's like, the doctor says he's motivated? Okay. Well, they just seemed to really want it to happen, so maybe there was something in there that Seattle didn't like.
Yeah, and I think I read something today on Twitter, which is obviously 100% true, that other teams were hoping for Seattle to take Tarasenko and then trade him back with you know, a little bit of salary retained, too. So I'm a little bit surprised that he's not being taken, because there is interest out there, but just I think the cost is too high to acquire him from St. Louis.
We now know 27 of 31 teams, or 30 teams, actually, because Vegas is not in it. Sounds like Hayden Fleury will be going from the Ducks to Seattle. And, of course, Hayden Fleury, former member of the Carolina Hurricanes, and, of course, Ron Francis, the GM of the Seattle Kraken. As we're happy to bring in now from the NHL on TNT, good friend of the program, it's Eddie Olczyk. How's it going, Edzo?
I'm doing fine, Nick. Justin, Anthony, nice to be with you guys, and hope you're doing well. Lots to talk about in the middle of July, and we haven't even hit free agency. So hockey 24/7, which is a good thing.
Yeah, my goodness, and great to have you on as per usual. It's been a lot of fireworks so far today, as you probably know, and certainly the big time news, at least in these parts here in Canada, is that Carey Price sounds like he's going to stay put with the Montreal Canadiens. Do you think that was the right decision by Seattle?
Well, I guess probably full disclosure here. I have some skin in the game. I have some blood in the game. My brother Ricky is vice president and assistant general manager to the great Ron Francis, as you mentioned, Nick, a little bit earlier. So on that level, I have some blood in the game, and then I also have some blood in the game as well at the amateur level. My oldest son, Eddie, is an amateur scout for the Seattle Kraken, so I just wanted to have full disclosure here because of, you know, the world that we live in. I thought it was very interesting and intriguing that, you know, Montreal would expose Carey Price, but, you know, I think when you look at salary, you look at the injuries, the concussions in particular, you know, something certainly to weigh. And I think, you know, I was looking at it like, wow, I mean, very similar to Marc-Andre Fleury being available, right? Like almost the same similar thing. Now the only thing that Fleury has that Carey Price doesn't is the Stanley Cup. And, you know, so it's certainly, again, rumors, speculation is that, you know, Seattle's not going to take them. So, I could see and make an argument on either side, but I would probably want to allocate, you know, funds probably in a little bit of a different direction than, you know, what's priced at 10 plus or 10 and a half, whatever it is. So I probably would, if that indeed is what ended up happening, because I know the list is in already, I would probably agree with Ronnie and my brother on bypassing on Carey Price at this particular time.
What are your expectations for this team out of the gate? Just looking, it should be a softer division from what I can tell. Do you think they'll be competitive, a playoff team? Has Vegas set the bar too high for them?
Well, Justin, the expectations, I'm sure everybody in Seattle and any Kraken fan will look at the comparable and go, well, geez, if Vegas did it, we did it. But I mean, is that ever going to happen again? I mean, well, what do the analytic numbers tell us, Justin, on that happening in any professional sport, let alone in a game of hockey where a team comes into a league and goes to the championship, you know, series in their first go around, you know, different times, salary cap implications around. I think general managers, for the most part, probably a little smarter, a little brighter, a little bit more experience of going through it and not thinking that, I'm going to protect one guy when I'm going to give up two or three other guys, or, you know, if you throw in picks as well, where, you know, you saw what happened in Minnesota and Florida that really, really, in my opinion, really made Vegas to what they are, is when they got Halla and they got Tuck and, you know, got Riley Smith and they get Jonathan Marchessault, where, you know, managers at that particular time are like, well, you know, we don't want you to take this guy, so take these other two guys. And all of a sudden, you know, they had, you know, I guess you could argue, I mean, when Halla was there, you got four of your top nine forwards, you know, because you played that game of, you know, well, we really like these guys, but if you don't want me to take them, then, you know, we're going to select, you know, we're going to take this guy and then you're going to trade us this guy. So expectations, you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, in the Western Conference out west, yeah, I mean, sure, why not? I mean, you know, goaltenders aplenty out there. Looks like they're going to have some pretty salty defensemen on the back end, whether it's through the expansion draft or through free agency. And, I think probably, you know, you look at the center ice position, it's such an important part of the game. And, I think that that's probably an area that they're really going to have to, you know, really fight for and look for and be creative. And, look, Ronnie Francis is as great as a center iceman we've seen in the National Hockey League in the last, you know, 35 years, 40 years in the National Hockey League. So, you know, he can speak from experience of winning as well. So, Justin, long-winded, why can't they make the playoffs? And like I said, with some blood and skin in the game, I sure hope they do. And the Olchek family will certainly be cheering on the Kraken.
So, Eddie, do you see Ron Francis exclusively building this roster completely through the draft, or do you see him trading a lot of these assets and being a major player in free agency next week?
Yeah, I think they're in it for the long haul. I think they're going to be aggressive for sure. And again, look at, I think with the world we're living in and a flat cap and teams, you know, desperate to move, you know, to move some salaries and money, I think that they're in a pretty good spot to play the hand and dictate the terms. And but I think there's no doubt. I think just, again, having played with Ronnie Francis and room with him and knowing the job that he did in Carolina, let's make this known here. I mean, the team in Carolina was built by Ronnie Francis, and I'll give a primary assist to my brother there, because I guess I have to, not that I want to, but they did a hell of a job there. And I think most people would look in Carolina and go, wow, I mean, they're, if you're buying or selling stock in teams, I think you're definitely buying the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't know what you guys think, but you look at what they've done here the last couple of years, the job that Rod has done behind the bench is, you know, they're a team that's on the come. I mean, they're ready to go. But I mean, look at my opinion, Anthony, is, you know, you have to, you know, if you're going to have long-term success, you have to draft very well. And look at, I think all teams, and it's going to happen in a couple of years where you're going to have a couple of guys because of the, and I'm talking about the amateur draft now, you're going to have a couple of guys that fall through the cracks because of the lack of hockey that a lot of these young athletes have not been able to play because of the pandemic. There's going to be some players that fall through the cracks and are taken in the third or fourth or fifth round, and all of a sudden are, you know, 30 goal scorers and log in 25 minutes on the back end, and everybody's going to sit there and go, well, you know, how did this team not take him, or how did this team bypass him? Well, I mean, this year is unique in this draft. And I think, your scouts and your scouting staff and however you evaluate, whether it's the eye test or the analytics or a combination of both, I think this is the year where you could, you know, tell your ownership group or your bosses, look, like, this is the year to take some chances, to take some shots. And the one thing I will say about Seattle, and again, I mean, knowing, you know, a lot of what's gone on here the last couple of years, the ownership group allowed the hockey department to get started a year prior. So they got a book on quite a few players before the pandemic hit last year. And that was big. And you guys know this. I mean, money is tight and organizations are looking to save every dollar. And, you know, and again, nobody saw the pandemic coming, obviously, but they had lines in the water well before they probably should have. And that's a credit to Ronnie for encouraging ownership that we need to get boots on the ground and start looking at players amateur wise and at the professional level, because again, we all know what happened last March, and since then it's just been, you know, it's been a mishmash of watching players. So, but I think Anthony, I think they're going to have their, you know, they're going to be really creative, and they got some things up their sleeves here. And but I think long term, there's no doubt, in my opinion, that they will be building through the draft and will continue to do that moving forward.
Conversing with the great Eddie Olczyk of the NHL on TNT here on Hockey Central, Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart. Are we missing something on Vladimir Tarasenko?
As far as...
It's tough to put two and two together as to what's transpiring. I understand why maybe Seattle wouldn't take him, but also just St. Louis is having trouble trading him. Like, if you're a GM in this league right now, Eddie, would you be after Tarasenko is what I'm asking, I guess.
Well, I mean, I would be. I mean, depending on what the team I have, I guess I'd probably say, what team am I? Am I a team that's, on the verge? Am I a goal scorer away? How much cap space do I have? Are the Blues willing to eat some of the salary? You have a couple of years left. And, are you willing to take back a bad contract, for him? He's a goal scorer. But, he's been banged up. He's a unique type of player. And, I think you'd need a real strong leadership group inside that locker room to, for him to fit in. But, it depends on the type of team that I have. And I think there are some teams out there that are starved, for offense and starved for goal scorers. And Justin and Anthony can tell you better than anybody, Nick. If you don't take the goaltending out of it, it's tough to win games 0-0. Look at Montreal, really. Early in the final, they couldn't finish. They couldn't score. And, they were offensively challenged even before they got to the playoffs, and that continued at certain stretches in the playoffs. And it puts a lot of pressure on your team D. It puts a lot of pressure on your goaltender. So, for Vladdy Tarasenko, I think it's got to be, I don't want to say an ideal fit, but the interesting thing will be is if indeed he doesn't want to be there, how does Craig Berube and how does Doug Armstrong handle if they can't trade him? He's got to come into camp. Does he play? How hard does he play? You worry about the injury part of it. Does he become just a practice player until you can find a fit? Do they give the agent permission to trade him? Or to give the permission to the agent to search around and sniff around? Do they give them away? I think at this time, I think ideally they would love to move the contract out, even if they had to eat a little bit, and then they go out and sign Gabriel Landeskog or somebody like that. It's 7x7. I think that's what's probably going to take to get Landeskog if indeed he does leave Colorado, because they got their own issues there with a couple of guys coming up. So. But I think it depends on the type of team that you have and if you're looking for a specific guy. And the guy can score. When he is engaged, he can be a difference maker, and you need guys that are able to finish.
Eddie, you're the absolute best. Really, really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for this.
Okay, guys, have a great day and enjoy the day. And we got the draft coming up and then obviously free agency. So I'm sure you guys will be busy. So stay safe, and we'll look forward to talking to you guys soon.
Thanks,
you as
Eddie.
Well. Take care. There you have it from the NHL on TNT, Eddie Olczyk, who, of course, is getting set for the Seattle expansion draft tonight. But again, it just there's a lot to mull and chomp on from Twitter today, guys. And, there's potential. There's rumors out there that Mark Giordano could be on the move right away. Like, all hell is breaking loose, isn't it, Borny?
It is. The Mark Giordano thing is a big story. Wow. I'm curious. Yeah, I mean, huge. Calgary, that's a significant loss for them. Also interesting to see what becomes of them. Like, do they want to flip him at the deadline? You know, all of a sudden, I think that's at least a first-rounder coming back their way if they decide that this is not the year they want to make their push for the Stanley Cup. So it's going to be interesting. Like, if they have a lot of success, they may be blinded into keeping a guy. It's going to be a ton of big decisions ahead for Seattle.
Yeah, the one thing I could say is with the Seattle Kraken, they've been thinking out of the box the whole entire time. So I'm sure they're probably aware of all these leaks that might happen. So what if they were doing the biggest troll job of all time and all the picks that everyone thought were coming in were wrong? So I'm going to be tuning in at 8 o'clock nonetheless, and I urge everybody to find some time to watch, because I think it's going to be great TV for sure.
I know what you're saying, but again, they had to have their roster in at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and that's the problem, is that the leaks are coming from the NHL and the NHLPA, and there's pretty much nothing we could do about it. But I'm with you, and I'm with you guys. I will be tuning in tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Sportsnet for the inaugural roster of the Seattle Kraken. And with that, we'll take our final break of the show. Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart here on Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, wrapping things up for this Wednesday edition of Hockey Central. Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart with you. Congratulations in store for Dave Cameron, named head coach for Team Canada at the World Championship. 62-year-old previously coached Canada to a silver in Buffalo at the 2011 tourney. And double congratulations at that, guys. Also named the head coach of the Ottawa 67s at the OHL. Pretty a substantial job, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, this is a fun time for hockey people everywhere. There's a big shuffling. What I'm looking forward to most of all next season is normalcy, normal schedules,
yes.
Right? Everything starting on time, everyone finding their spot, and just having. It's been a couple of years since we've had that. So best of luck to him and everyone in their new places, wherever they may be.
Absolutely, and he's been around for a long, long time. He actually coached against me when I was at the Kingston Frontenacs, and he's was at the St. Mike's Majors. So he's well traveled.
Yes.
I think he coached last year in Austria and NHL stop. So good for him. And congratulations. He's a great coach, great teacher, great mentor as well.
Very well said. Guys, as we close it on the conclusion of this program, all eyes peeled, of course, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time for Seattle expansion draft. And I'm sure lots in store from what I'm hearing, possible protection deals. But just the beginning, Stewie, of what's to be just a crazy next week in the NHL world.
Yeah, everybody says they know. But I'm sure there's going to be a couple big surprises tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some off-the-board picks, but it's going to be entertaining. I'll definitely be tuning in.
I wonder if they'll announce trades right away. Like, is Mark Giordano going to get traded to the New York Rangers tonight, like right after they pick him? I'm excited to see how that shakes out.
Man, that's interesting. Like, I can't get my head around that, the Rangers. It's very Rangers, of course, because they're going to be proactive here in the offseason, especially with, you know, the changes behind the bench up top. Like, the Rangers are after it now, right? Because I think they really viewed this season as a disappointment. So certainly one of the storylines to watch for tonight. Again, our apologies if we pretty much leaked everything what's to come tonight, but it's still going to be tremendous in terms of a new NHL team in this world. The Seattle Kraken entering the league, I guess, officially with players on their roster tonight at 8 Eastern time. So don't you dare miss that. Many thanks to Eddie Olchuk from the NHL on TNT for breaking it all down from us. Of course, Carey Price, big news as well, staying with the Montreal Canadiens. We'll see for sure coming up tonight. But many thanks to Matt Marchese, Dylan Brown, Lance Kennedy, for Justin Bourne and Anthony Stewart. I'm Nick Alberga. And again, don't forget, 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 Pacific on Sportsnet. The Seattle Kraken pick their inaugural roster. Take care.